We've been talking about righteousness, being made right with God. Not just that, you know, somehow now you're permitted, you know, to just kind of sometimes maybe talk to him and it's okay, and you can come grovel and beg to him and he's not going to smite you dead because, you know, you're right with him. But actually right with him. With the very same right that Jesus is with the Father. We've been made right with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new." Let's keep reading. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." See, reconciled. Anybody understand bookkeeping? You keep your checkbook, right? You kind of get that, right? When your checkbook matches your bank account, you've reconciled it, right? You're happy, right? Because everything balanced out, right? That's good. You're happy because it's reconciled. We have been reconciled with God. "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself." In other words, 2 Corinthians 5:18 right now. He has reconciled us to himself. In other words, he's the standard. He's the bank account. He is the amount of money on hand that you actually have. Only with him there's no limit. It's endless. God has no deficit. He's never running without a budget. He reconciled us to himself. In other words, he made your account match his. In accounting terms, your account now matches his. You are just balanced with him. Just like him, you're reconciled. "And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation." That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Hold on here. "Not imputing or reckoning, adding to your balance trespasses." In other words, where you were lacking in your account with him, he filled it up. He's not looking at you owed him this much money. He just got rid of it. You don't owe him anything. Let me say that again. You don't owe him anything. There is nothing that we can do to be made right with God other than to believe that we receive the righteousness of God, Romans chapter 3. And we'll get back to that. He reckoned us right. He, not imputing or accounting our trespasses to them. He does not account our trespass. He does not count sin to our account any longer. "And has committed to us the word of reconciliation." So what is your job? To tell others that you've been reconciled to God and that they can be reconciled to God. That you've been made right with God and that they can be made right with God. It's not to tell them that they need to repent for all their sins and that they need to start obeying all these rules and regulations. You don't have to do X number of rosary bead prayers or read X number of chapters in your Bible a day and then you'll be good enough. You don't have to stop smoking or change your wardrobe before you come to him. Because he loves you. Okay, there are things that we shouldn't do because they're not good for our bodies. We should live modestly, you know, i.e. not flaunt everything that we have, if you catch my drift. Okay? "Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For," now this is where we spent some time at, "for he made him who knew no sin. In other words, Jesus didn't know sin. He wasn't a sinner. He obeyed every aspect of the law. He was born of a virgin by virtue of the Holy Spirit. So he didn't have in him the genetic marker of sin that is brought to man through Adam. And he lived a sinless life and obeyed every point of the law. But he knew no sin. And he became sin for us. For you personally, he became sin. You don't have to be sin anymore. You don't have to act like a sinner. Once you receive him, you've been made righteous. There's no more accounting on your side of sin. Sin no longer has a hold on you. It can no longer control you. It no longer forces or causes you just to willy-nilly fall into sin every time you turn around. 1 John 3 says, if his seed is in us, then we cannot sin. I know that's huge, but you are righteous. He made him to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What kind of righteousness? What kind of righteousness? The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. You have been made the righteousness of God. You are just as right with God as Jesus is. You're just as right with God as Jesus is. He's got a greater amount of the righteousness than I do factor. It's not a first, second, and third place righteousness. It is the righteousness of God. God doesn't have different levels of righteousness. He has one. It's his. And he's given it to us. I am no longer a sinner. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't walk in sin any longer. I had a pastor, and I told him about that. And you know what he said? Well, you're going to sin. Well, that's a great help. Well, you're going to sin. Well, yeah, I might, but it's not my way of life. It's not my nature anymore. I was by nature a child of wrath. Let's go there. This keeps readjusting itself. Well, 1 John 4:17 says that as he is, and we can put that up there, or you can open it up in your Bibles, you can write it down in your notes. 1 John 4:17, this is a scripture that transformed my life. Absolutely transformed my life. Do we have it up there yet? 1 John 4:17. In this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Read with me. For we are as he is in this world. As he is, so am I in this world. Is he a sinner? Is Jesus a sinner? He's up there seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Is he a sinner? No. Am I? No. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner. I may have sinned. I may have done things. Occasionally I get mad and I give in a little. But then I move on. And I do 1 John 4:9. Oh, 1 John 1:9. I'm sorry. I was stuck on the chapter 4. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, what have we talked about that? If you've sinned and you've missed it and you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all what? And all unrighteousness. Anything that is unrighteous. If anything that is unrighteous is removed from you, what is left? Righteousness. If all unrighteousness is cleansed from you, nothing is left but righteousness. We read last week, and we won't go back to it. Paul, who stood there at the stoning of Stephen, who was a Pharisee, who held the jackets of those Pharisees who were stoning Stephen, who had letters from Jerusalem, from the high priest, to go out and to gather up Christians and to persecute them and to put them in prison, said, "I have wronged no man. I've done no one harm." Can you say that? You stood there while they stoned an innocent man and held the jackets of those that were stoning him. You were out persecuting the church, stoning them, beating them. And you can stand there now because Jesus said, he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He didn't say, "Why are you persecuting my church?" He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" So when somebody's persecuting you, what does Jesus say about it? "Why are you persecuting me?" Because you're one with him. John 17. You've been made one with him. Paul could say, after everything he did, "I've harmed no man. I've done no one wrong." Why? He's been cleansed of all unrighteousness. You might have messed up, man. You might have messed up so big this week. I mean, you might have done, you just walked right in and knew exactly what you were doing and boldly did what you did knowing it was wrong. 1 John 1:9. You get right with him. That was the thing that God loved so much about King David. Did you know that? Called him a man after his own heart. Why? Because he sought the heart of God. And I talked about this last week. He sent Bathsheba's husband to the front lines to get killed because she was pregnant with his child, because he had an affair with her. When he realized what he had done, he repented. He had a heart after God. Praise the Lord. As he is, so am I in this world. Say it. As he is, so am I in this world. Let's do it again. As he is now, so am I in this world. As he is now, so am I in this world. One more time. As he is now, so am I in this world. Oh, that ought to put a smile on your face. I know it put a smile on his face right there, man. I mean, come on. As he is now, so am I in this world. As he is now, so am I. Right now, right here in this world. I am not consciously, we talked about this last week, Hebrews chapter 10. I am not consciously aware of sin. Too much of our time is spent being consciously aware of sin. The righteous one doesn't dwell on sin. You don't think about sin. You're not looking to commit sin. You're looking as the righteousness of God to commit acts of righteousness, to do those things that make you right, those things that are righteousness of loving God, of loving others, of putting others first. That's really what the Ten Commandments is about. It's about how to put God first and how to put other people first. Truly, the first five and the second five. First five about your relationship with God. Second five, it's about your relationship with man. It's not a list of regulations. It's how to do it. These are just the basic general steps towards being right. As the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I don't covet. I mean, sometimes I look at something and I think, ooh, that's nice, but I don't covet. Sometimes I think it would be really easy to kill that person right now. You know, because some people do really awful things. But I'm not going to. I keep Sabbath, but I'm not legalistic about it. I mean, Sabbath was there in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It predates the law. It's just rest. Man, I'll tell you what, after yesterday, I need rest. We were here for 3.5 hours, and then we stayed and we cleaned up. Then we went and ate lunch, and then my family and I, we came back, and we cleaned the parking lot. And I thought, my kids need a rest. I thought about keeping them out of school on Monday, but it's only a half day. So there you go. They get a half day off on Monday. I get distracted. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I love Ephesians chapter 1. I love the book of Ephesians. It's my favorite book in the whole Bible. And Colossians. And Galatians. Yeah, all the shins. All the shins. Thank you, Jeff. All the shins are my favorite. Ephesians. Chapter 1. Oh, we'll start in verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, hallelujah, he's the Father of glory. Oh, we're going to get into that, the glory. This is great because that clock is so off, I have no idea what time it is. We could go for hours, I think. It's so off. People are starting to go, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things, listen to this, under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Let's skip ahead. Verse 4 in 2 chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with him and raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I know that's a lengthy passage of Scripture. But the prayer of Paul is that you and I would know, and that we would have revelation of God. And primarily the revelation that he wants us to have is that when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he made us alive together with Christ and seated us together with him in the heavenly places. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can go to my dad's house, and I can go in, even if he's not there. I can open up his refrigerator, I can get a glass of milk, I can get a cookie, I can go sit down and turn on the TV. Why? Because I have right standing with him. You don't. You don't. He's my father. I have right standing with him. But God is your father, and you have right standing with him. Hebrews says you can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. I can boldly go to my dad's house and I can do those things. If I wanted, I could go in, I could lay down on his bed and take a nap. But he doesn't have a Tempur-Pedic mattress anymore, so I won't. He gave that up when he moved. I like my Tempur-Pedic mattress. Dad is relieved because now he knows he doesn't have to remake his bed. See, verse 3 in chapter 2 says, we were by nature children of wrath, just like others. We were. You were. You were a child of wrath. You were destined for hell. That was your destiny. Hallelujah! My destiny was hell. Oh, I'm so glad that he who knew no sin became sin for me, that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Look, it says that he made him to be the head in verse 22 of chapter 1, he put all things under his feet. Does that leave room for anything not to be put under his feet? If all things are put under his feet, is there room for anything else not to be? No, it's all. What does all mean? All. 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 Sound like a bird. All. All things. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Think about that for a minute. Corporately and individually, you are the fullness of him. In this world, especially when we gather together, and the gifts of the Spirit are operating, and the fruit of the Spirit is living out its expression in our lives, we are the fullness of him. The moment you accepted him, you became the fullness of him in the earth. You're the fullness. You are filled with all the fullness of God, that you may know his riches, that you may know the glorious inheritance that he has for you as his child, that you may know what he has for you, the glory. He's got a glory. He's got a glorious future for you. Listen, I had a good childhood growing up. My kids have a better childhood growing up. It ought to be that way, especially with the believer. It ought to be growing. From an earlier age, I had exposure. My kids have never known anything but church. They've never known anything but the Spirit-filled life. I mean, we never didn't do it. We got married and went to Bible school. Our kids have only ever known the faith life. Their children, should the Lord tarry, will never know anything but the Spirit-filled faith life. We are called, listen, faith is not that big a complicated deal. Is it written here? Do you believe it? Then you better start acting like it. Because acting on what you believe is faith. When you heard that Jesus saved you, all you did was believe and act on it. Man, that's simple, isn't it? It's so simple. An act of faith is to say, well, he says, I'm the same righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You might not believe it in your head, but you start saying it with your mouth, and you start saying it daily and reading scriptures to have to do with it, and you'll believe it. And pretty soon, you're not going to be subject to all the same things that everybody around you is, and they're not going to like it. Why? Because you're different. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because he was different. I'm different. I say that all the time. I'm different. Listen, when you were dead in trespasses and sin, he died for you and then made you one with him. John 17, that they may be one together, Father, as you and I are one. That they might be one together with me, as I am one together with you. You're one with God. No. This isn't some sort of strange Hollywood social, what is that thing? What is that? That self-help kind of guru kind of thing, and everybody, Tom Cruise, and they're all Scientology. You can be a better you. You just start, listen, the better you can be is God. You're his child. Listen, I come up here, my son walks with me and prays with me. My daughter, I mean, she wants to be in the kitchen cooking with mommy. Why? They're imitating us. Imitate him. Well, you've said that before. Yeah, I know, and I'm going to keep saying it. And he raised us up together with him and seated us in the heavenly places together with Christ. Verse 6 of chapter 2. We're seated together with him. Now, you're sitting here right here in this room. And you'll say, well, how do you mean? Well, positionally, no matter where a king goes, if he's the king of a country, he's seated on the throne. It's his throne. He's seated. He's the seated king. Queen Elizabeth, good grief, she's been the queen of England for 60 years. No matter where she goes, she's still the seated queen. Nobody else has taken the throne. She's the seated queen. Jesus is the seated king. And we are seated together with him. We are ambassadors here in this world, but you, honey, are seated in heavenly places. You're seated together with Christ as a king. You're a king. We're seated together with him. Ooh. He is the fullness of everything. Nothing that was created without him. And he is the head of all things. He is head of the body. Can my head go somewhere without my body? No. I mean, you know, it could get decapitated and roll down a hill, and that's about as far as it's going all by itself, right? Seriously. The body can do nothing without the head. The brain regulates. It regulates. It controls what you see. It controls what you hear. It controls how you perceive things through your eyes and through your ears, through your senses. We are his body. He is the fullness of the body. You are filled with him. Should we do just whatever we want? God forbid. Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Oh, we're doing great. It's only 11:42. Romans 3. Start in verse 21. Here you go. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. So do you believe? Do you believe? Then you're the righteousness of God. Act like it. That's our deal now. We just have to act like we're the righteousness of God. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to have some fancy crown on my head. If it's here and I believe it, then it's true. I'm the righteousness of God. Hey, listen, even if you don't believe it and you're having a hard time with it, it's still true. All right? Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the what? The glory. Being justified free, I love that. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory. Now listen, if I haven't sinned and I'm not a sinner anymore, what am I? Have I fallen short of the glory now? No. Hallelujah. Oh, the Bible is the story of the glory. The fall of glory and the restoring of glory. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, from whom God set forth as a propitiation. Remember we talked about that? That's the mercy seat that's on the Ark of the Covenant. It's where the high priest would go once a year with the blood of the sacrificed bull, and he would put it on that seat. And then God would come and sit and talk with him. Jesus is the mercy seat. By his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, there it is again, his righteousness, because of his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He has justified you. I like the old saying, and I know maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't. I'm justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Every day, I'm justified. He justified me. and made me righteous. The glory that was lost in the Garden of Eden through Adam's disobedience, make no mistake, Adam is the one held accountable for the sin, not Eve. Adam is still accountable. It's not Eve. Okay, guys? It was not the woman. It was Adam's choice, Adam's decision. And through that one choice, all sinned. But now through the one Jesus Christ, all that believe have that sin removed and have been made the righteousness of God. The glory that was on them before they realized they were naked makes you wonder what we're going to wear in heaven. It's just going to be a glory costume, maybe, right? I don't know. Glory to God. I would just be so bright and shiny. And I mean, there's neither male nor female in heaven. So we just, you know, we'd just be glorious. We'd just be glorious. And the glory that had been on them was no more. For all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, when I receive the righteousness of God again through Christ Jesus, no longer has that glory departed, but the glory has returned to me through what? Through Jesus Christ, through the fullness of Christ on the inside of me. Now, you may not look like a lamp walking around just right now, you know, a bright lit lamp, but you are from the inside out. The glory has returned to you. The glory is the presence. It actually, the glory means weightiness, heaviness. See, sometimes you know when people get prayed for and they fall? That's the glory of God coming on them. It's the weighty, heavy presence of God coming on them. I've had that happen to me where I fell on the floor. No, I could not move. I was stuck like this one time. I couldn't move. It's just the glory. The glory comes on. And it's too much for these bodies that have been exposed to sin for so long. David said, we were like those that sleep. Our mouths were filled with laughter. We were like those who dream. Come on. The glory has been restored to you. What glory? The glory of the king. The glory of the king. A queen or a king is considered the glious eminence. They have a glory, which is the weightiness, the presence of their of them wherever they go. Listen, if you meet, you might meet the president and say, well, it was really nice to meet you. You meet a queen? You meet a king? That's a whole different thing, baby. I mean, that's a familial issue. That is something that is handed down from father to son and mother to daughter. This is handed down to you from your heavenly father. It's his glory on the inside of you. That thing that makes you one together with him. It's there, baby. It's on the inside of you. And the more you let that glory on the inside of you grow, the more you let that righteousness that's on the inside of you grow, the more you're going to appear in glory. The more you're going to appear as the glorious child manifesting the presence of God wherever you go. You're going to walk through the mall and people are going to come up to you and go, man, there's just something about you. You kind of glow. And I just needed to come over and meet you. You know, that happens to people. So, well, that's weird. I don't want that to happen to me. Then it won't. I want it to happen to me. You know, I've said this before. I'm different. All right, Colossians. Like I said, Ephesians and Colossians, the shins. Colossians. We'll read these two, and then we'll close up for today. Colossians 2. And then Colossians 1. Look at that. I just love. This is my favorite verses right here. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're his body. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells. In you, you are his body. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in you.
Let that one sink in for just a minute. I just heard it hit the bottom of a pail somewhere.
In him, in you, because you're in him, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All of him. All of him dwells in you in fullness, in the fullness of the Godhead.
Colossians 1:27. To him who willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Listen, on that day when the trumpet blasts for the last time and the dead in Christ are raised, we which remain will be changed and we will have that new glorious body. In the meantime, the glory is inside of you because you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. You are a spirit glorified. You are a glorious being. You are called to glory. You're called to the glory of God. We're called to reconcile the world unto God through Christ Jesus. You're not just a mere man. You're not just a mortal person. You're a God person in a physical body. You have been given rights and power and dominion and authority. As a king, you have authority over your realm. As a king, you have authority in your home. You can tell which spirits are allowed to stay and which aren't. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to help you. Hebrews 1:14. Come on, you've got these glorious angels that are here to help you. You're a king seated on a throne. You are the very righteousness, image, and likeness of your heavenly Father. And whatever you say in the name of Jesus has to happen. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that's a lot, isn't it? It's a lot. Is it deep? It's a deep river. Come on, you write down those scriptures. You read them. Listen, I don't ever stand up here and just tell you what I think about something. If I do, then we're just a self-help group. We're Kiwanis and Rotary. We are not Kiwanis and Rotary. We are the sons and daughters of the living God. We are seated together in heavenly places, far above all power, principality, might, and dominion, and every name that is named. The fullness of him who fills all in all lives in you today. Amen? There is no need that you have in your life that you can't meet because you are a king of the king. You're a kid of the king. You are one of the kings that he is king over. You are one of the lords that he is lord over. Amen? All his fullness dwells in you. Do you think there's any lack in him? That's that Hebrew word shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, everything in its place. Total restoration. The glory of God is on the inside of you. It's up to us. We're the ones who keep it back. We hold it back by not knowing. By just living simple lives like everybody else in our neighborhood. It's up to us. God's not going to make you any more like him than he already has. It's up to us to make ourselves, to imitate him, and to become more like him as dearly loved children. Amen? Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Oh, your word is light and it is life. It is light and life for us. Today we pick up our glass with cheer and we proudly proclaim, this is our year. This is our year of the glory. This is our year for the glorious experience of the body of Christ. This is our year. You have declared, you have said, this is your year. Raise your glass and cheer. So, Father, in Jesus' name, We just thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for making us right with you. We thank you for giving us the privileged position of being sons and daughters who are seated with you in heavenly places at the throne of majesty on high. And we glorify you, we praise you, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.